This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9-1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and James Tooley, educator, philosopher of education and educator, coming to America. His book is Really Good Schools, Global Lessons for High Caliber, Low Cost Education. He has created a low cost private school in the North, as he says, in Buckinghamshire, in the Great Britain. But coming to America, James has very careful language here because there are what appear to be self-organized learning environments, that's a concept that I'll ask immediately about, in America called charter schools and also schools that are the products of vouchers. Both of those ideas have been advanced by philosophers of education for some decades, most notably Milton Friedman of the Hoover Institution, whom I had an occasion to chat with before he left us, James, and it was a pleasure how passionate he is about charter schools and their success in America. But you make the very careful point that after all these years of attention and publicity and success, it's still a very small percentage of American children, very small, and is always under pressure to prove itself to the school system that is part of the arrangement. They use the charter schools, for example, use school buildings for their success, and that's not entirely what you would have to say is independent. So, coming to America, the question first is: do I describe what you're recommending as a self-organized learning environment? What does that mean, James? Because you use it several times throughout the book.
Yes, and you used it in terms of charter schools and voucher systems, and that's, I wouldn't include those. So what I'm talking about in terms of spontaneous order or self-organized learning environment is a situation where learning takes place, where education takes place, which is organized or which emerges outside of any centralized state, centralized public control or direction. So what I've been describing the program so far, remember, we recall back in Monrovia, in Lagos, in Delhi, the majority of school children, the majority of poor school children are in private schools. No government has decided that. In fact, it goes against what governments want. No government's decided that, but the people themselves, this grassroots movement, you know, one parent starts a school, one entrepreneur starts a school, many start being formed. Children go to these schools in preference. It's a spontaneous order that emerges, and that is a really exciting phenomenon. But in America, now you've mentioned Milton Friedman, the late great Milton Friedman. He was in favor of vouchers, and it was for a very particular reason that if you're in a democracy, you need universal vouchers so that everyone can have schooling. And what I say in that sort of third part of my book, Really Good Schools, I say, well, this sounds great. And, you know, when I first started hearing about school choice in America, I thought, wow, vouchers, they sound wonderful. This is where the money for education gets given to the parent and they take it along to the school of their choice. And so schools thrive or don't, depending on how many children go there. But I looked at the data and I saw that the percentage of children enrolled on voucher programs in the U.S. is less than half of 1%. And even when you throw in charter schools, there's still only about, you know, 5 or 6% of all children, school children in America, are enrolled in these school choice programs. And then I look back at what the work I've been doing around the world and say, well, that's 70-80% of urban children, or, you know, 30+% of rural children. Overall, 50-60% of children are in these schools. Isn't there something that's much more exciting than vouchers and charter schools that can actually transform education. Isn't this movement that I've seen of low-cost schools elsewhere even more exciting? And the funny thing is, Milton Friedman changed his mind about vouchers, and he didn't see the evidence that I've been accumulating over the world. He would have loved it, I'm sure, by the way. He would have loved seeing these low-cost private schools in the slums of Monrovia or Juba in South Sudan. He would have loved it. But he looked at the historical evidence, or he looked at the historical evidence of Professor E.G. West, who'd written about the situation in England and Wales, and also the situation in New York and Massachusetts, I think. And the evidence is quite extraordinary. From England and Wales, the Newcastle Commission data from 1858, this is before the state got involved in education, showed that 95% of children were in school for 6 years. In America, there was evidence from 1821, I believe, well before compulsory schooling, with only small state subsidies. The vast majority of children in New York State were in school well before compulsion and before free schooling. So Milton Friedman saw that evidence and realized that his argument for vouchers no longer stood, and that therefore he would see vouchers as a stepping stone towards this sort of spontaneous order, the self-organizing learning system of low-cost or private schools for all, including low-cost private schools. And, you know, I mentioned at the beginning of this program, I had a hunch about what I might find in the slums of India when I first went in there. It was because of this finding of Milton Friedman using the work of Professor E.G. West. I wondered if what was true in the slums of Victorian England might also be true of the slums of India and Africa now. And it's a hunch to prove right.
You have advanced in your book the cities you find most likely to be attractive to low-cost private schools. I'll read them through quickly, and you can comment about why you chose these cities and what to look for in other cities in America. Milwaukee, St. Louis, Charlotte, North Carolina, Atlanta, Georgia, Jacksonville, Florida, and Louisville, Kentucky. What links those in your mind, James, as to why low-cost would work there?
Yeah, and look, I don't want to overdo this table here. What I was looking at here was on the major. I had a few criteria. One was on the regulatory environment. You know, would the regulatory environment be conducive to low cost private schools, or would it be would it put a strain on them, particularly in terms of teacher certification, teacher pay, curriculum flexibility?
We've got about one minute, James. Go ahead, please.
Okay, so those cities scored highly on that. Also, I looked at population. Also, I looked at the waiting lists for charter schools, because that suggested to me if there was a long waiting list for charter schools, there were parents hungry for an alternative, and they might not be able to get the charter schools. They might be able to get this alternative of low-cost private education.
And these all met that criteria. There'll be many more states like this. Final thought, James, back to your first visit in India, the revelation that you've had. Have you heard from other people who have this similar revelation when they visit schools? Do people write you all the time? We've got 30 seconds, James.
Yeah, this movement that I discovered, not obviously for the people in India or Africa, no, but for people back here, I discovered that movement. And many people now are writing to me and saying, yes, we've seen this ourselves. Do you know, I've been having some wonderful correspondence with people in Caracas, Venezuela, over the last few weeks. And they were interested in my book, translated into Spanish, and they've been looking, and they found the same thing in Caracas. It's wonderful to find this phenomenon from across the world, low-cost private schools, the poor finding, not acquiescing in the mediocrity of public education, finding better things for themselves. It's so exciting.
James Tooley is the author. Really Good Schools, Global Lessons for High-Caliber, Low-Cost Education. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, Gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.